Okay, it's 15. People are still coming in, but let's get started. You had a good event so far? Okay. So, Enterprise Mobility Suite. A lot to cover, actually. Two sessions. So, part one, we will focus mainly on Azure Active Directory Premium, Windows Intune, and then second part, we continue with Windows Intune, and we talk about Azure RMS. What all this stuff is, I'll explain you later on. For who is it the first time that you have a kind of deep dive on Enterprise Mobility Suite? Don't be shy. Half of the room. Who played already with components of EMS? Okay. Who has it in production? Okay, already a few people. The agenda I have foreseen for you today, as there are still some people where it's quite new, I'll do a short intro why actually Microsoft is doing that enterprise mobility story. I will give you a complete overview on how you configure it end-to-end. I will also demonstrate you as much as possible. For the sake of time, I cannot do all demos live, but then I show you live screenshots out of the environment. I will also focus on what has been released last year because it's a cloud service, so it's continuously evolving. Preview feature coming up, then features are coming GA, stuff like that, so I'll explain you that. I will also touch some roadmap, of course, the things we can talk about, but I have some stuff for you, and then I hope that you get inspired. In that sense that you will see a bunch of technology, that's what EMS is, but maybe you can see already, pick out some stuff. Start small, okay, that rings a bell, maybe I can use that in my business, and that would be great if you can step out with some ideas, let's say. So before we start, maybe a small word about myself. So my name is Nico Steenaert. I work for Geotronix, which is a worldwide system integrator. I'm based in Belgium and Luxembourg. I do also there some work for Microsoft, and I'm a Microsoft MVP in Enterprise Client Management category. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter, and I also do blogging on the System Center user group in Belgium. So small intro, as I said. I'm sure for no one of you, this is a shocking message. Mobility is the new normal in that sense that your users are coming in with whatever device, your corporate data and settings and applications are on these devices, so you want to provision it, let's say, on a secure way, but also on a user-friendly way. Experience is very important. If you make it cumbersome, just because of that security, your users will try to work you around. That's how it works. Maybe an interesting one is, these are numbers from Forrester, is the circle in the middle. There they state, okay, in the year 2020, your users will use more or less 25% of SaaS applications. I'm not Forrester, but I think it will be much more. If I see what applications, SaaS applications are already in place with customers today, I'm surely convinced that that number will be much more, and you will see what Microsoft is actually doing with these SaaS applications in the EMS part. Okay, I have to close that one maybe. But if Alain starts to tweet with the dirty words, you never know. So, if you look into enterprise mobility solutions, so you look into the market, then actually you will end up with a lot of vendors. And so this is actually the story. And also enterprise mobility is much more than mobile device management only. So if you start to look into the market, you will see that a lot of companies are picking out typically some topics, or they are specializing in certain topics of enterprise mobility. I don't say that they are delivering wrong quality. That's certainly not my statement. But you see already the complexity. You have a lot of vendors. You need to integrate them with each other. And, of course, each vendor needs to be paid. So probably regarding cost, you have also some challenges there. So the story of Microsoft there, let's just create one suite and put it completely end-to-end into one offering. So for cloud and identity management, we talk about Azure AD Premium, mobile device management is Intune, and then information protection is Azure RMS. Certainly this one, you will see it later on in the demos, that will be for part two. That's very a unique offering that they have. No single vendor can deliver that kind of encryption of content, okay? Another comparison with competitors. So if you want to protect and manage your computers, typically competitor of Configuration Manager or then Altiris, CA, LambDesk, whatever. If you then want to protect your mobile devices, the applications on top of that, you have typically competitors of Intune, which is AirWatch, Mobile Iron, and so on. Some AirWatch, Mobile Iron people here, Zen Mobile, whatever, yeah. And then the story begins. Eh? If you want to protect your files, another vendor. If you want to protect your SaaS applications, guess what? If you want to manage your identity, same story there, okay? So then you can put Config Manager on top for your, let's say, your general PC management and desktop management, and then you can hook up the complete EMS suite. And the numbers are there are just quite an example. I talk with Microsoft locally. They are very, let's say, EMS is their fast-growing business, so it's 1 year on the market now. There is no single software that has sold so many licenses as EMS, so it's a fast-growing business that they have. The challenge that Microsoft now has, okay, the customers are buying it, so now they have started using it. Eh? Because it's a cloud service, they will also want that they start to consume. Eh? Before Microsoft, they sold you, let's say, 100 Office licenses, but actually they don't care that you were using it because you paid already. Now the story is different. You pay cloud services, so they also want that you consume, okay, that you use Azure and stuff like that, that you use Intune services. And based on that, they have also revenues. So it's a complete other story there. Okay, Gartner. That was also, let's say, a challenge last year with customers. Some of them, they don't care about Gartner. Otherwise, they do care. Okay, you're trying to sell me something, but where is Microsoft in the quadrant? So you see now that they entered as a visionary in the Gartner quadrant, which is already good. And this is only the Gartner quadrant for mobile device management. Eh? So you see there AirWatch, Mobile Iron. So you don't see all the other vendors that are doing, for example, encryption or identity management. If you look into the strengths, you see directly that they focus on the capabilities that Microsoft is offering with Office. We'll talk about that later on. Who was yesterday in the Config Manager Experts Road Warrior? What was the title again? I don't know anymore. A few people. Eh? So I touched it that already briefly, but I certainly repeat it. But then you also see directly the strengths that they are referring to EMS. So yes, Intune is part of a complete end-to-end suite. It's much more than mobile device management. If you look into the cautions or the weaknesses, standalone and hybrid. So you can have Intune standalone cloud only, or you can integrate it with Config Manager. And it was true that there was a challenge regarding features. Microsoft is releasing first in the cloud, and it took a while before it was appearing in Config Manager. Config Manager has 80% market share on the market, so customers mostly want to hook in Intune on top of Config Manager. So that was kind of an issue. So now with the latest service pack, Microsoft did a good job to do some feature parity and to close that gap a bit. Is it completely closed? No, it isn't. But you have already a very broad sense of features into Config Manager. So that's one thing. Then they talk about typically some Android stuff and Android for work. Honestly, I didn't have a customer that asked for that, but I can tell you that's on the roadmap of the product team, so Microsoft will work on that. And then the last one, I totally do not agree with that. So limited mem capabilities, that's one of my missions. The upcoming 2 hours, I will show you that there is a lot of mobile application management or containerization inside of enterprise mobility. Okay, before we start to talk about EMS itself, it's a cloud service. So it means that at a certain period of time, you have to make sure that your users can identify themselves via the cloud, via Microsoft Azure. So before you can do that, you have to sync a piece of identity into the cloud. Who is using Office 365 here? A lot of people. So you guys are doing this already, okay? You use DirSync or Azure AD Sync or Azure AD Connect to sync some attributes to the cloud to make that identity happen. So why do you see now different tools? Well, the first, they started with DirSync. That was their first tool to do that. Then some features were missing, like multi-force support and so on. So they came up with AD Sync. And to make it a little bit more complex now, they have AD Connect. So the good news is that they will deprecate all these tools here, and Azure AD Connect is the one and only tool that you need to sync your identity into the cloud. Okay? So what is Azure AD Connect? So it builds on the existing tools like a DirSync and an Azure AD Sync. They also acquired a lot of UI improvements. Before you had to do some PowerShell stuff. Now you can configure everything in the UI. You have two pods. You have an Express and a custom one. So the Express is actually to, let's say, to set up your basic sync in the cloud to make sure your identity is there. But you have also a custom one, which is actually an orchestrated way to set up your main components for enterprise mobility. So you can set up ADFS, DNS. He is putting some other settings. You can configure web application proxy, so which is a reverse proxy, and so on. So if you want, in one wizard, he can help you to actually orchestrate the complete environment that you need. So that's quite interesting. Support of new features. It's a little bit small, baby, maybe, but you see here write-back capabilities. So you will see that self-service is one of the capabilities in Azure. So if a user can reset his password over there, yeah, it has to make sure that it write-backs to the environment. Otherwise, it's getting out of sync with the AD on-prem. So typically, the write-back for user group and device is now added into the Azure AD Connect as well. Also, one of the complaints of DirSync was that he was, because it was mainly designed for Office 365, but then Microsoft was releasing other SaaS applications like CRM Online and Intune, and customers were complaining, okay, why do you sync all these attributes into the cloud? Because Intune is not even using it. So one of the features now is also that you can deselect attributes. You can actually, the tool will tell you which attributes the certain service is required. So you don't push all the attributes that are not relevant into the cloud. For some customers, it can be sometimes a tricky discussion. But even if you have extended your schema extension and you have custom attributes, even these now you can also sync into the cloud if you have a reason for that. And then if you use existing or older DirSync or AD Sync tools, you can easily upgrade and go to the latest version. So this is released a few weeks, maybe it's already a month or two, but that's the latest and the greatest that you need for syncing identity in the cloud, okay? That said, it's now time to start talking about Azure AD Premium. So let's say the first big block in Enterprise Mobility Suite. Then we talk about Intune, then we talk about Azure RMS. So what's in Azure AD Premium? As you can see, quite a lot, and even a little bit more than on the slide here. First of all, multi-factor authentication. In a mobility world, one password is just not enough anymore. So you want that your users do a second or a third factor authentication method. You also see it popping up in Windows 10 with the face recognition, stuff like that, fingerprint, all this kind of stuff is coming. Hybrid identity, it's all about the experience. It's all about security as well, but it needs to go fluently. So you want that your users can enter, let's say, all their SaaS applications on a single sign-on base. So they don't have to, what was my password again of that application and so on. So Azure AD will be really be your identity broker to all these applications. Unique security reporting, you will see there's quite some interesting reporting. For instance, if I log on in Azure here in Basel and within 5 minutes something is happening in Brussels, that can be suspicious. So that kind of information you can have there. Branding. It's cloud, so your users are working in their browser. So it's very interesting that they can see immediately branding. Okay, this looks familiar to me. I can continue. Self-service, as I mentioned, like a self-service password reset. Group management, that's typically, I'm not going to focus too much on group management because it's quite obvious. You can really compare it with groups on-prem. So you can create groups, put users in these groups. You can grant these groups to use certain applications and so on. So that's quite straightforward. Application proxy. Microsoft released in Windows Server 2012 R2 the web application proxy, which is actually a reverse proxy. So something that you put in your DMZ to make sure that you can provision your intranet applications and so on. So actually it was replacing UAG. You will see now if you don't want that web application proxy in your DMZ that you can move that same service to the cloud. And that's a trend that you also will see in Microsoft. So typically a DMZ, it has to be there for security reasons, but it's expensive to maintain and quite complex. So the trend is that Microsoft will actually move as lot as possible of these DMZ components into the cloud. Does that mean that you have to shut down your DMZ tomorrow? Certainly not, but that's the vision they have. Okay. A portal, that's also there where a user can see, okay, which applications can I use, self-service, passwords, stuff like that. And then device registration, that's also an important one, formerly known as workplace join. Who knows what workplace join is? Okay, so I'll re-explain. So workplace join is also coming Windows Server 2012, R2 or not R2, honestly I don't know anymore. But what is it? you can actually register your iPad in Active Directory. At that moment, a computer object is created, so your device is known. If you know the device, you can do some conditional access. For instance, you can only access that SharePoint website if your device is registered. So typically, that was a device registration service that you had to run in ADFS. So again, something that you put or that you provision through DMZ. Again, if you don't want to do that, it still exists, still supported. But if you want, you can move that same service to the Azure cloud as well. Okay. SaaS applications everywhere. I hear myself two times. Okay. Don't know if that is EMS feature, but this is actually the story. So a lot of people are using SaaS applications. They have a lot of passwords. It's complex, so you actually want to offer your users a single sign-on, a trust with all these kind of SaaS applications. Who knows how many SaaS applications you have within your environment? Who can say, I have 5 SaaS applications in my environment? Who can say that? Not much people. That's also what we see with customers. So actually, they don't realize how many SaaS applications they already have. Also, the phenomenon of shadow IT, that businesses are buying themselves SaaS applications, and even you as IT, you don't know it. So if you want to have an ID on what of SaaS applications are running within your environment, it's also part of Azure AD Premium. You can actually install the Cloud App Discovery agent. That agent is really analyzing, okay, who is using which kind of SaaS applications, how many of their time, and so on and so on. So very useful information. And then you can see, okay, we are using Salesforce, we're using Box, yeah, you name it. You will see later on that more than 2,500 titles have already trust with Microsoft. And then actually you can to start. You can go to the business, okay, what are you doing with that? You can challenge them. And then you can say, okay, they need it. So what do you think, dear business, if you can log on with your AD credentials? For sure they will be interested. Yeah? Okay, enough talk for so far. So what I will do, first I will demonstrate you everything from the user perspective, and then I will show you how you need to configure it, okay? And I have to sit next to this here, so I hear myself all the time. So let's go first to the portal. Everything starts with the portal, right? So myapps, Microsoft.com. You see directly that there is branding. I'm not a marketing guy, so it's ugly, I know. But based on the, so our test domain is fuwslabs.com. So this is an on-premise domain. Azure is Active Directory, but the identity is synced into the cloud. So that's why he recognized me immediately. So if you type in the password, okay, this is actually the environment that we know. So this is the branding that is linked to it. So as soon as you type in the username. So now I type my password of Active Directory, just like I'm on premise. And if I start in, you will see that actually he will send me an SMS now. So that's the multi-factor authentication. So just give it 2 seconds. Here it is. So 932396. Sign in. Should go a bit faster, honestly, but okay. So this is actually the user portal. So what can you see here? Again, some little branding. The applications that are available for me, so the SaaS applications. If I do some groups and if I'm an owner of a group, I can see here, okay, this user is actually requesting a group. You can approve that, okay, that user can use that specific application. And then regarding profiles, this is where you can see where they can change their password, where they can change their phone numbers, which devices are linked to that user. So typically, what you can find in a self-service portal. So let's first start with applications. Single sign-on, right? So you have different scenarios there. For instance, You are in marketing or a PR department, and they actually want to post on Twitter, but you want to avoid that all your marketing users actually know the Twitter password. What you can do then is you can create a trust with Twitter, enter the company password, you as administrator, and as from them. So let's say now that I'm a pretty marketing girl and I want to tweet something. So I just click on Twitter, and I will be redirected automatically with the credentials of my company, as you can see here, and I can start to tweet. Okay, so that's typically single sign-on. Can be more complex. For instance, Salesforce. Yeah? Same story. I just hit a button. Based on my ID credentials and based on the federation we created, I will have access directly into the application. So internet is a bit slower. So you can see, very nice user experience, right? Okay, what else do we have? Let me sign out and enter with another user. So look again the branding, as soon he knows, okay, you're that guy. Now imagine that I forgot my password. So first of all, I will show you the experience on-premise to make sure that I'm not cheating you. So I sign out this user here. Everything is so slow today, come on. So Intune 3, and the password now is 05. Okay, see it? No, it's not 05. Ah, thank you. So that works, thanks. So to show you, that's my password. So I forgot it, so just for a matter of completeness, I will sign out again. Sign out. Okay, so now in the cloud, what's my password again? Can't you access your account? No account anymore. So this is the self-service that you will see in action now. The most tricky part. Okay, now you have, depending on how you configure, you have to say, okay, I'm really Intune 3. I have configured that the user can set a mobile phone for receiving a call or an SMS message. But a new feature, I promised you that I would touch the newer features of this year, is actually some personal questions. So my favorite childhood hero is Rambo. I was a system engineer when I started. And the name of my pet was this. Believe me, if the answers were wrong, I could not pass. So now I can change it. So I change it to password 06. See, I'm not cheating you. Password 06. Finish. So now my password is reset, so I can log on again online. So Intune 3. Password 06. See? Sign in. Okay, but now what I have explained to you, if your user changed something in the cloud, it needs to write back on-prem, right? Otherwise you have issues on-prem. So if I go back to that PC now, password 06, and I can log on. Don't you get emotional if you see this? But just to show you, I hope you understand that there's quite some power in here. Okay. Do I have to tell something right now? No, I come back later on. Application proxy. A very nice feature, as I mentioned, if you want on a very easy way actually provision your application, which is running on-prem. So it's not a SaaS application. So if you have a SharePoint online or whatever HTTP, HTTPS application on-prem, the only thing you need to do, you install a connector, you make the relation with Azure Cloud, you provision that application into the portal of the users. I will show you in a second. And again, with a simple mouse click, they are redirected based on their Kerberos ticket through Azure AD directly on your website. You don't have to install anything besides the connector, so you don't have to change your application. You don't have to put anything on DMZ, whatever. It's very straightforward to do so. So what experience of that? Maybe first some troubleshooting stuff. If you install the connector, Event Viewer is the place to be, so you have a separate logging for that application proxy. These are some test URLs that you need to test to make sure that you can reach the application proxy service and that your connector is talking directly with Azure. And then proxies. So with customers, always issues with proxies and connectors. So in this sense that, I had to pass by the proxy by actually editing the config file of the application proxy. So always be careful there. Okay, so what's the experience there? So spectacular that it's actually quite simple to show. So if I go back to the portal, you see here my test web, and what's behind it. So what will happen now is I will redirect it from the cloud directly to a web server. And I was a bit too lazy, so it's not really a web page. It's just the IIS homepage, but you understand what I want to tell. So now I will just see, okay, signed out already again. That's fast. He should kick me out. That's typically for cloud, but not within 2 minutes. Oh, what are you doing, my friends? Okay, so here you see my IIS webpage. So just in the IIS server running on-prem that I access through the Azure portal. Make sense? Okay. So as I promised, some configuration. I log in into the Azure portal with my admin account. For who is it the first time that you see an Azure portal? It's possible, huh? Yeah, everyone? Good. I'm here connected with a cable, but I had the impression that Wi-Fi was faster. We are almost there. So this is Azure. This is the public cloud portal of Microsoft. Here you do all the PaaS, IaaS, and also all the EMS stuff. So everything starts with the directory. So here you see our directory with all the users inside. So why can I see the users? Because I sync them into the cloud. So you can see here all my on-premise users. You can see it. They are identified as a local active directory. I can also create cloud-only users by just hitting this button here, so add user. Same story for groups. So the groups that I have synced, also local active directory groups, and so on. Now, before you do EMS, you have to make sure that your licensing is okay. So you have to buy EMS. And then you have to assign, actually, EMS rights to your users. And so here you can see that I have 25 licenses. And then, it's very simple, you assign a user. So you have your user directory. And then you can see here that all these users have rights to leverage EMS. So what is EMS? The three products. So you don't have to buy Intune separately. Okay, regarding configuration. Here you see a button for branding. So here is just the fact where you link your JPEGs to make sure that the branding experience that you have seen. Enable password reset. It's just a matter of yes or no. If you can, if I can configure it, you can do it as well. Here you can see, okay, which types of MFA I want to use. For instance, if you say, okay, I only want that my users get a phone call, this is where you decide that to do. Also, what I want to tell about multi-factor authentication, and for some reason, I cannot show you anymore, and I got the time to contact the product team why that is removed. But what you could do before, and I hope it's coming back, so multi-factor authentication is important, but you have to make sure that it's not annoying for users. So each time they log on, okay, again an SMS, again a phone call, your wife will say, okay, what's happening? It's my MFA service, yeah, right. So you have to make sure that the user experience is still correct, right? So then what you could do then is say, okay, save my MFA cookie for X amount of days. For some reason, that feature disappeared now. So that's typically cloud, it's moving daily. But I hope it's coming back. So that's just a side note that I wanted to make. Remember the questions, the pets, the job, that's what you do here. So you can see very straightforward. I'm not going into all the settings, but you have the idea. Multi-factor authentication may be interesting to show. I take a new tab instead of a new window. This is a bit odd because you have to actually configure it on two places. So if you go back to the directories, you see here multi-factor authentication provider. You see that I have one active, and then I have here again a manage button. So we have actually two windows. First of all, you can configure app passwords. What is that? So some applications do not support MFA. For instance, if you do Office today, they don't understand ORM. So for that, you have to give in a multi-factor authentication password. In the future, and the near future, Office 2016 will have that inside. So if you, for instance, Outlook today does not know MFA. In the future, that will happen. You can also black and white list. For instance, if you can say, don't do MFA if my users are in the company, if they are on the subnets that I know. That's typically what you do here. Ah, and now it's back. You see, it's a preview feature. And sometimes they remove it, and then they edit again, whatever. But now it's here again. So allow users to suspend multi-factor authentication for a couple of days. So this is actually the feature that where I have talked to you about. For the rest, you have some interesting reporting, as I said. So I'll show you that in a second. But you can also do a little bit more complex setup. For instance, fraud alerts, brute stuff. So if they're always trying the wrong PIN, stuff like that. You can also upload your own WAV files. So if you choose for a phone call, now it's a nice lady, I assume, but it's a very standard message. So you can actually customize it. Hey, this is the MFA service of this company. Please press the hash button. So that's what you can do. You can also have the same MFA technology, because this is actually something that Microsoft has acquired, on-prem as well. So you can leverage the same service if you want to protect or to do MFA on stuff that is running on-premise. So for that, you have to download the server bits. And if you're really inventive, you can even download the SDK and put it directly in your applications. So that's more the development part. Okay. Directories. Applications. So I have shown you the single sign-on experience with these applications. So let me show you now how simple that is. So I showed you Twitter. So that's why you can see it here. You could also see Skype. This is my application on-prem. So if I click on that, you can see here that I have enabled my application proxy, that I have installed my connectors, and then it's just the fact of assigning users. And then in the configure tab, you can assign a nice logo. This is also an external URL. So if you want to avoid, for instance, that your users always have to go to my apps.microsoft.com, you can also provision the direct URL to the application. a certificate if you want, you can do, and so on and so on. So it's all quite straightforward. And that's the very nice stuff that I have done. So if you go to the library, you have three choices. Add an application my organization is developing, so that's typically your own SaaS application. Add it from gallery, I'll show you in a second. And the last one is application proxy. So publish your own internal application through Azure AD. Now, the gallery here, so you can see now 2,499 titles already. Is that readable? Do I have to use Zoomit for in the back? It's okay. And here you can see actually all the titles that are inside. Now, the nice thing that I have done, so this means that Microsoft has talked with these vendors and make sure that they can create trust and even federation, if you want, with these applications. Federation not for all applications, that's more in the featured applications. So if you use this one, like a Salesforce, for instance, then you can even write to that service. So if you create users in Azure AD or in Azure On-Prem, he will automatically create the users in Salesforce as well. So that's the feature application. So that's a little bit more complex. But what is the nice stuff about it? So if I take Salesforce now, how do I need to set up that relationship? And there they have built a very interesting wizard. So based on the application that you choose, you have another wizard. So here, typically Salesforce stuff. So yes, I want to do my single sign-on. So actually, what do I need? Here you have the choice. Of course, I want to leverage my Active Directory password, the signing URL, and then it starts. So typically, you need a certificate, you need issues URLs, you name it, you see it here. But actually, Microsoft will tell you what you actually need to set up that relationship. Okay, so it's not that you have to read a complete book to set this stuff up. Okay. And then maybe last one, or reports. So quite some interesting reports here. For instance, password reset activities. So if I want to check who has tried to reset his passwords, the last period of time, then I can see, okay, Intune 3, he failed one, he successed one, or from where are users signing in, for instance. Where is that one? Or RMS usage. Let's talk about that. Who actually is trying to use, and so unique files that are shared within the service, but maybe that's a little bit too early that I talk about this, but you can see you have interesting files here, reports here, which can help you a lot to make sure that your identity out there in the cloud is quite secure. All right. What time is it? New features. Self-service access to applications. So you have seen in the portal that you can see different tiles where you have access to certain apps. What you can also do is make sure that they can self-service so that user can actually press a button and see, okay, what applications can I actually use? But you don't really show them directly. So it's easy to configure, and then they have to hit this button here, get more applications, and there they can see, okay, I have also rights to use Skype or whatever. This is an interesting one. Users with leaked credentials report. So that's a new report. So I asked to Microsoft, can you tell me how do you actually create that report? And the answer was, we have some services where we can track that your credentials are leaked, and then we provision that into the report. Period. So in other words, they don't want to tell their intelligence how they get it. But honestly, I don't know how I need to test it. And it's also in preview, so it's very brand new. But actually, Microsoft is pretending if for some reason your identity is stolen, that they can show it you through reports based on their very secret channels. Okay? Jack Bauer. So. Password rollover. That's also an interesting one. You heard probably that some companies, their social media credentials were stolen, and then you can do some harm. So for LinkedIn, for Twitter, and for Facebook, you can do password rollover. Now, what is that? Is that you give in one time your credentials, and then at that moment, you give actually Azure AD the right to change the password continuously. So actually, nobody knows the password anymore. So you can do rollover frequency, so you can say, okay, change the password continuously. The single sign-on continues to work because you have created the trust. Now, what if you want the password again? then you have to use the forgot my password feature of Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Okay, but that was the something that the business was asking. I don't know. It was a big company that the Twitter was hacked. Cannot remember who anymore. But that was really causing this feature. And again, yeah, that's one of the advantages of clouds. Sometimes features disappear, but sometimes they pop up quite quickly. That's an interesting one. Azure AD Connection Health. Yeah, that's ADFS is a very important component, of course. You route your identity through Azure Active Directory, but actually the authentication happens on your ADFS. So you want to make sure that that one is healthy. This is actually a monitoring tool that helps you to see, okay, how many users are connected. It also helps you upfront. This is not really a configuration that we following the best practices, let's say. So it's a very interesting tool to make sure that your ADFS is up and running. And then privileged identity management existed already. That's role-based access control to make sure that your administrators have enough rights into Azure AD. But now they have added security reviews, and that's actually a kind of auditing, which is checking your users, which are working in Azure AD, so your IT people, and you can do quite some harm, as you can see. So it's important that you're all set there, right? Because people are moving, you're changing roles, but they keep their credentials. I don't have to explain you that. And that's actually what this tool is doing. So he's suggesting, okay, actually these users have a lot of rights. Maybe you should opt for a temporary password and not permanent. So then you have one global approver, let's say, and then as soon as someone wants admin rights, then you have to approve and you can give him rights for a certain period of time. So that's actually also new. Conditional access. Very important. You will also see that's coming back into Intune. So what is that? That you, based on conditions, that you give actually your users rights to certain applications. So is your device healthy? Are you working on within the company, outside the company? Stuff like that. You see here a mock-up screen because these two radio buttons are still not released. And what is that? Required a compliant device. So this is actually, he will talk to Intune and see, okay, is it not jailbreaked? Is there a PIN? Is my device healthy in general? And that, as from that moment, you will grant access to that application. So really based on conditions. Or for instance, only do multi-factor authentication when I'm not at work. How does he know if you're not at work? Remember the subnets, right? Okay, that was Azure AD Premium. Any questions? Everything crystal clear? Who is using it? There were, yeah, okay.
Why do you have a separate license for AD Premium? You have AD Premium?
That's because trial stuff and ignore that. That's special. No, that's nothing. So if you have EMS, that's enough. Yeah, I can show you. There are also no users assigned. So that's something from in the past. So licenses, you see that assigned users is zero. Oh, okay, if I start to click on this one, even Azure starts to move then. But you have the idea. Any other questions? No? Okay. Let's talk about Intune. So I have explained you the two modes here that is known, so I go very quickly. Yes, Microsoft knows it. We know that you're frustrated. Service Pack 1 helped already a lot to make sure that the features are actually entering more fast into the standalone one. Who is using Intune standalone? Anyone here? For PC management or mobile device management? So, yeah. But yeah, we see on the market that most people want to do this part of the solution. Okay, new features. Application allow and deny list, so black and white listing of applications. You could do that already in the past with OMADM. Now that's still supported, but it's a little bit more user-friendly. Okay, so you can really say these applications our users are allowed to use or not. Regarding experience on device, that's a little bit different. That's not the fault of Intune. That's what Windows Phone, Android, and iOS actually allow. So in Windows Phone, you can really prevent a user from installing a software. So if he goes to the store and he wants to install this business application, then he says, okay, you're not allowed to do that. For iOS and Android, it's not so, let's say, restrictive. So you will be able to install the application, but it's more a reporting feature today. So you can see, okay, this user is actually installing non-compliant non-compliant applications, okay? At a certain period of time, I saw some errors with these lists. And so this is brand new, so also I also need to discover some stuff, how it works. And the thing is that you can actually not deploy two lists at the same time to a device. And the reason for that is actually quite logic. The reason is if you whitelist, for instance, two applications, and you send that list to a device, automatically it means that all the rest is blacklisted. So there is no reason anymore to send a blacklist afterwards. So if you should do that, then you will see a conflict of these lists, because he said, okay, I have already a kind of blacklisting, so it's completely, it's not required that blacklist anymore. So that's important that you understand that. So yes, you can create different lists, but target only to a user or a device, and no multiple lists. IIS policies, so you can create with Apple Configurator extra settings. So this you need to install on a Mac device. So it can happen in the user interface of Config Manager. There are quite a IIS policies that you can set, but it might happen that you miss some. Well, if you have in that event, if you are in that event, you can actually create such a file into the Apple Configurator, export that file, import it into SSCM, and SSCM can actually deploy it to your systems. Reset passcodes, remote lock, that was also a feature that was already for months in Intune, and customers were asking that to come to Config Manager, so it's there now. So you just start to right mouse click on a device, and then you decide, okay, reset my passcode or remote lock it. Again, the experience on the device is different. This is on a Windows phone, so you really can see that your device is locked by your administrator. An iOS and an Android, they will just lock. You don't see anything that is forced through your administration. You can also set temporary passcodes. So for a Windows phone, you see then here, it's a quite complex one, so that's already challenging. So that's a temporary PIN that actually will replace the current PIN, and then the user can change it to a normal PIN of his choice. Again, some different behavior of devices. So for a Windows Phone will automatically ask you, okay, this is a temporary PIN, so put in now the PIN that you want. On Android, you will not notice anything, so we'll try your old PIN, that will not work. Then, so you have to try this PIN, and then you will enter. And for an iOS, we cannot generate actually a temporary PIN. So the current PIN will just be released, and then the conditional policy will see, okay, this device does not have a PIN, and then he will prompt again to enter a new PIN. So you see, that's indeed complex, but the same challenges for other mobile device management vendors, let's say. It's just the way how these OEMs are built. Don't forget Android, iOS, that's typically built for consumer markets. It's the completely bring your own, choose your own discussion started afterwards. And so that's why sometimes there are some struggles regarding user experience. You can push free iOS apps. That's also something tricky. So yes, there will be a prompt from, hey, Intune wants to install an application on your device, but the user still needs to hit the install button, okay? So sometimes you want to get rid of, because we are used to, certainly with Config Manager, if you push an application that it's just installed mandatory. If you want to do that, you have to take ownership of that OIS device. It's meaning that you have to start to take it in a provisioning mode. So that differs a bit. Also, if the user press cancel, what do you think will happen? Does the pop-up arrive within 60 minutes or so? No, it appears back in 7 days. Why is that? It's by design from iOS, because Apple says, okay, it's a free store app, so actually you're using the Apple ID of the user, and the strange logic they have, okay, so they say, okay, if the user decides to cancel it, he doesn't need it, and then by default in the iOS, you have it's popping up again after 7 days. Can you change it? No. Refresh policies from out of Intune, that will not change anything. So some caveats that you have to know. Device enrollments program. So this is typically bulk enrollment from iOS. What was the situation before that? That the user has to enroll the device himself. Now, what if you buy 100 iOS devices and you want to configure them up front and give them to your users? Well, that is what DAP is. And actually, you have two ways of bulk enrollment of IIS. You can also use the Apple configurator, but then you need to attach all your devices to that Mac. So yes, that works, but can be cumbersome. If you have to deploy through a few dozens of machines, you don't want to do that. Then the option is the dev support. What is that? So basically, you create a relationship between the Intune service and the Apple service. These are talking with each other, and actually, you're sending, so you're getting back device information, and you're sending up your configuration. The configuration will be installed on the devices in Apple. They box it for you. It goes to the user unpacks, user starts the device, and the device starts immediately to enroll automatically. Okay? So that's what DAP is. And then you can see in Service Pack 1, you can create the enrollment profiles, and you can see then which devices are coming in. Apple push notification. If you want to manage IIS, you need such a certificate. Also, Mobilara needed, AirWatch needed. So that's not, again, an Intune thing. But yeah, it tend to expire certificates. So before, you had to monitor it or make sure that you are aware that these are expiring at a certain date. So now you have in-console monitoring, which is very nice. So he will tell you, be careful, because your certificate will expire, and if that expires, your management gets a bit tricky, let's say. What else do we have? Oh yeah, this one. Who is using actually Mobile Device Manager already within you? Not so many people. A lot of potential in the room. This is, again, not an Intune problem. This is Apple again. So what will happen? If a user enrolls his device, you have an Intune self-service portal. You can log in that portal, and you hope that you see which applications are available for you. That does not work. This is the experience if you browse to Safari. You can see that you have an application. This is the experience in the application itself, so in the portal, in the Intune portal. What is the logic philosophy of Apple again? They are just refusing that you are building own stores yourself. That's actually what this portal is. So that's the not really nice experience. So what has Microsoft done? They have updated the iOS portal, and now you have a big button, the company apps button. And if you hit on that, you're automatically redirected through Safari, and you can see your applications. So it's a workaround. They are discussing with iOS to make this better, but that's what it is. So if you try to play with Intune and you send an application to your device and you don't see it in the self-service portal, think about that. We talk about troubleshooting later on, but the Intune service is a cloud service, so sometimes you don't have control what's happening out there. And you want to know if something is not working properly, if your Intune service is out, so the region where you are, Western Europe, for instance. Now you can actually go for RSS feeds, and you can automatically receive notifications if something is wrong or if your service is in maintenance and so on. So first spot to check if you see that suddenly everything stops to work. Honestly, that is not so, in my experience, not happened much, but certainly a spot to check. And then PFX files. You can also do that now. That was also a huge request of the market. Certainly people that are using S/MIME, so encrypting of email. In that scenario, all the users need to have the same certificate on their device, because they encrypt the certificate, the email with that certificate. He sends it to his colleague. He needs to have the same certificate to decrypt it, of course. So that's typically S/MIME scenarios. Probably some of you are familiar. So now you can also do that with a config measure. You could do that before, but then you had to leverage NDES. So what is NDES? And this is just a way of deploying certificates. So if a user is requesting a certificate, hey, I need a user certificate, or hey, I need a machine certificate, then actually through the SCAP protocol, he can actually ask a certificate. And this is the extra layer that Microsoft offers on that. He will just do an extra check. Hey, config manager, hey, certified authority, this user is requesting a certificate. Can he have it? So that's actually what NDES is doing. So yes, this you can do without NDES, so actually installing the same certificate on each machine. If you want unique certificates, you still need NDES. Let that be clear. What time is it? 10:10, so I've still 5 minutes. Okay. Containerization. What you will see with competitors is they will put everything in a container. So your corporate apps, applications, data, everything is in there. You as a user have to log in separately, and you have to use container apps, like a mail app. The user experience is not what, if you talk to users, they just don't like it, because actually they want to work in their Outlook, and they have a kind of container app. So Microsoft has a complete other vision there. So what they will do is they will put containerization capabilities directly into their products. What is now the product suite mostly used in the world? That's Microsoft Office, so they will start with that. So all versions of Microsoft Office have now actually MEM capabilities inside. So what is that? Preventing copy-paste, making sure that unmanaged applications do not talk with managed applications. You can make sure that if a managed application needs to be stored, that first there needs to be a PIN. So typically, that's mobile application management capabilities. There are also companion apps. So those are free apps that they're offering into the store, like, for instance, a secure browser or a PDF or an AV viewer, stuff like that, to watch movies and so on. And then in Q4, they will release an SDK. So this is typically for developers. If you're developing something bottom-up and you want to have sure that these MEM capabilities are in the product, then you can leverage the SDK. And actually, Office and Intune are examples of what, and Intune companion apps are examples of the power of SDK. Microsoft is also now talking with other vendors, like with Adobe, for instance, to make sure that all the new releases of Adobe will have automatically these MEM capabilities inside. And then you have a wrapper. That's for existing applications. Competitors have that as well. So if you have an existing app and you want to do MEM management on that, you just create your shell around it. And that's why you need a wrapper. So you have that for iOS and Android. Okay. What do I mean with that? They apply different on iOS and Android. That's, again, by design of the OEMs. So if you have an Android and you want to do certain MEM applications on an app, the app can already be installed on the Android itself. For iOS, that's not the case. So if you want to make sure that you can manage an application, Apple only allows that if you have installed that application through an MDM vendor. So it means at that moment you really manage the app. In other words, if you have Office installed on your iOS and you send MEM policies to it, it will not work. You have to push the Office through Intune, as from that moment it's managed, and then the MEM applications will apply. That's what it is. Some screenshots, and then we can stop and take a 30-minute break for part two. Okay, so this is the secure browser on Android. If you install it for the first time, he will tell you, hey, this is a container app, so you first need to enroll into Intune. And then you can see typically some MEM behavior. So before I can start with that, I have to give in a PIN. This is a picture, because one of the MEM policies is that I'm not allowed to take screenshots. So you can see that MEM policies are kicking in. And it's a secure browser, so it means that it can black and whitelist certain URLs. You can also configure, for instance, if a user clicks on a URL in an email, that he opens automatically in the secure browser, and not in Safari or in the Google Chrome browser. Okay, so very interesting. So app wrapping, iOS, for that you need to have a Mac and install the wrapping software on that one. For Android, it's a little bit simpler in that sense that Microsoft has released a PowerShell tool where you can wrap existing Android applications. So what you first need to do is you need to generate a private key to sign these applications, and you do that by leveraging the Java tools. I wrote a blog about that. That was very bad documented. And then you can download the wrapping tool. You can see it's just a matter of PowerShell. You put a pod, input, output pod, and some extra parameters. And within seconds, depending how big your application is wrapped. And now what does that mean, wrapped? That you can apply MEM policies to it. So the same experience. So this is a cheap Notepad application, just to show you the experience. So you see here again the PIN. You can see that I cannot take screenshots. And I try to exchange data between an unmanaged app. And then he's telling me your IT group only allows content from this app into other managed apps. So you cannot exchange data with applications that Intune does not know. Okay? I will quickly show you the configuration and then we go in break. So if I take config manager, so this is SP1 installed. Here we have the application management policies. You can create easily new policies, that's obvious. And then if you go into one of these policies, you can typically see the specific settings, like for instance, prevent save as, prevent cut and paste, or just cut and paste between managed apps. Make sure that my data is always encrypted. Make sure there is a PIN, that's a complex PIN, and so on. And then what is typically about this policy is that you cannot really deploy it from here. So what you need to do, you go back to your applications, and as soon you actually import an application with an SDK on application that is wrapped, config manager will recognize that, and as from that moment, you will have an extra tab in your deployment window, properties. So here you can see a new tab, application management, the name of your application, and then the mem policy that you want to assign. This is a secure browser, so I have two policies here. First, the PIN and so on, and not exchanging content and all that other stuff, and then the managed browser policy, where I just actually, let me show you, where I black and white list some URLs. So it's very simple, so block, very simple to configure. But that's actually what mem is, and you will see mem is much more. Remember Gartner? They were not right. Okay, so 30 minutes break. Hope to see you back for part two so you have the complete story. And enjoy the drinks.